If you've got your Bible, we'll turn to Malachi chapter number 2. Malachi chapter number 2. We're going to look back here at the text and try to cover a little bit more ground. Let me mention something about this. I preached and said several pointed things. If you know somebody and you know they love you and they care for you and they're really just trying to help you, they can say anything they want to say. But if you think they're trying to embarrass you or make a fool out of you or just pick on you, then you can get offended at what they say. Back home there at Vision, I'd pastored them long enough that they knew that I was not there to hurt them. I was there to try my best to help them. And I hope that spirit comes across here as well. I feel like that it has. I want to make sure that it has. And the Word of God won't hurt you. I mean, it's like medicine. It might be bitter going down, but it'll help when it gets there. Amen. When it does the work it's supposed to do, it'll be a help and it'll be a blessing when it's all said and done. Amen. So having said that, I'm back in Malachi chapter number 2. I'll start with verse 17 and read verse 1 of chapter 3 as well. Then back up to chapter 2 verse 10 and read some more. All right. So verse 17, ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or where is the God of judgment? That's my title through this whole series. Where is the God of judgment? Here's his answer. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's jump over to chapter 2, verse 10 now and read verse 10 through 13. I preached verse 10 and 11. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man, against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. Verse 12, the Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, and with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with good at your hand. Just a real quick rehearsal, I guess, to get us back where we are. I've been over this enough that you probably remember it, but I'm dealing with the section of this book, the first half, that's called The Complaints of the Lord. Now, these are complaints that God had of His people. I found seven distinct sins that He deals with in chapters 1 and 2, and I've called broke them into two parts. The nation's spiritual sins, which I said this morning, were religious in nature. And then, and those were the first four. The last three are dealing with the nation's special sins, which are relationship in nature. And it deals with relationship. Again, I said that when you're touching on relationships, you're on a touchy subject. And our world, our nation in particular, but our world is so upside down, because they do not have a relationship with God, and they don't know how to have a proper relationship with people. And it's sad that we're living in that day. I'm telling you, you can see it all around. If you work on the workforce, you see it. Men do not know how to be good employees. They don't know how to work with people. They don't know how to get along with people. They don't know how to keep their own word and do what they need to do. Amen. In order just to maintain a job and have a reasonable job and income, they can't do that because they don't know how to have a relationship with people. You can see it in church. People can't submit to a pastor, can't submit to a Sunday school teacher. They can't sit and be friends, can't sit on the same side or shake hands with somebody on the other side or whatever because they can't get along. No relationship. We've got relationship problems. But you mainly see it in the homes of our nation. And Malachi just jumps in there. And this sin that I'm dealing with now is the first one in this set of three. I've called it their detestable worship because he's dealing again about the fact that they're doing this in Jerusalem. That's where the temple was. They're still bringing offerings. They're still making vows in the house of God that they're not keeping. And have no plans on keeping these vows. Amen. They're doing all these things in a way that's bringing a reproach on the name of the Lord. And I ended up really in verse number 11, that phrase that God says about Judah. He said, "For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved." At one time, Judah was in love with the Lord. And the thing that he appreciated about the Lord was the Lord was not a God like all the other false gods, that was a sensuous God, that was a wicked, amen, a mean, always changing God. But he was a good God. He was a faithful God. Amen. He was a holy God. And at one time, Judah loved that about him. But after a while, they got their eyes on the world. And the Bible said they fell in love with and half married the daughter of a strange God. Adam loved Eve and wanted to go with her, even in a fallen state, more than he wanted to obey God. Amen. Adam was not deceived. He walked into sin. Amen. And I'm telling you, that's the same sin that he's dealing with here. Men that know better, and yet they're sinning against God, walking against light. Amen. And God said, "I'm going to cut them off." And when he cuts them off, whether it be excommunication, it is execution. It's a death warrant on them. And I believe that clearly coincides with individual perpetrators that have sinned and brought a reproach on the name of God being excommunicated from the Baptist church. I believe that's right. It's a church principle. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verses 14 through 17, here's what the Bible said. The Bible said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" I'm going to stop just a minute and say this. I'm going to try to slow down a little bit and spare my throat because I about preached it out this morning and then sung it out tonight. Amen. But the point I'm making in this by reading you 2 Corinthians, and I'll read some more about that, is that this principle is not just an Old Testament principle. It's carried over into the New Testament. That saved folk are not to marry unsaved folk. God worshipers are not to marry idol worshipers. Amen. We're not to walk away from God. "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Amen. Amen. "And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." I am for homeschooling and home teaching and keeping your children as much away from worldly influence as is possible. Amen. Amen. I am for keeping the children in church under the sound of the gospel, under the sound of Bible preaching, to keep them out of the world. And when it comes time there to look for a spouse, I encourage you, keep them looking in the household of faith, not out in the world for somebody to marry. It'd be much better to go to your grave lonely and go to heaven and get rewarded for it than to live a life of disgrace. Amen. Raise up a seed that goes to the world and goes to the devil and see your own children cast into hell on the judgment day. Amen. Be better to be lonely and in glory rewarded than to have your loneliness met here, satisfied here, but see your children die and go to hell. That's right. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. I'll show you some scripture there as well. This principle is that when they do unequally yoke, the church is to do something about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is dealing, you probably know the context of scripture, he's dealing with sin in the church. Open sin, and it is a sexual sin. We'd say a relationship sin. He says in verse number 3, "For I verily as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan." Now, wait a minute. What's he talking about doing? Is he talking about praying they go to hell? No, that's not what he's saying. He said, when you turn them out of the church, the devil has free reign. The hedge is let down. Amen. The shield has been laid aside and the devil has free reign. He said, let me go back and finish reading that verse. "To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Now here's the idea of that. It's not that we're angry at the brother or the sister that commits such sin, but here's what the Bible said. You know what it's going to do. It's not only going to hurt them, but it's going to hurt the whole church, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Amen. When you pull down the standard of marriage and when you put it in the mud, it sullies it for everybody in the congregation, especially those that are recently married or that are thinking about marriage.
Right.
You know, it's a proven fact that children of parents that have gone through divorce are more likely to divorce. Why is that? Because they're already convinced that nobody can make it. They're not intended to make it. Their standard's not very high. They got a lower standard. And so it doesn't take much that they meet that lower standard and they just drop it off. And so I'm saying here, Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians that when this sin is done, he said, your job as a church, you preach to them, you've taught them, and they walk away from light. He said, I believe he said, the next time you come together, don't wait 20 years. He said, when you come together, amen. I believe he said, the next time you come together, you're going to have to deal with it. Amen. And when you deal with it, when they're put out because they have reproached the name of God, he said, God will deal with them. He'll use the devil to chasten them, and yet their spirit will be saved in the judgment. Amen. Their flesh will be cut short. And so the idea is that the sowing of the bad seeds won't have a long time, but God will cut it short, and they'll yet be saved so as by fire. Amen. Amen. Now notice that God, I'm back in Malachi, God required Malachi to inform the people of Israel that when he moved in judgment of those that committed such sin, he would not be partial. He said, I will bring this judgment, I will cut this man off, the master and the scholar. Amen. The master and the scholar. He's not going to be partial in this. He's going to bring judgment and be moved against the teacher and the student, the master and the servant, the high class and the lower class. Amen. God's judgment would be against all who commit such sin. Now, there's where I want you to notice. How many people get by with that? God said, none of them. None of them. Sad part is that when people head down that road, it is so hard to stop them because they're moving so much, they're moved so much by the flesh and by the desires of the flesh that you can't help them. Amen. I said to a man back home years ago about his daughter, I said, you better deal, and it's this way with any child, but I said, you better deal with her heart while you've got her heart, and because I said, once you lose her heart, you can't talk to her in her head or her hide. Amen. She won't listen to you if her heart's already given over. It's hard to stop it. God said here, keep your heart with God and your heart won't go after some strange woman. Amen. Amen. He said that judgment's coming upon all those that commit such sin. Now, I'll say this, I believe it's right. Perhaps nowhere in all the Old Testament is the standard of marriage held as high as it is in the book of Malachi. Amen. Malachi's preaching exalted the standard of marriage. Amen. And marriage for the Christian is to only be, here's the quote, in the Lord. Amen. Isn't that right?
Right. Amen.
Amen. He talks about the widow, the wife that her husband's died in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to marry to whom she will. And here's this phrase, only in the Lord. Amen. And so that's not only for widows, that's for everybody. The idea is God said that saved people are supposed to marry saved people. Amen. I believe you ought to marry within your own people. Amen. In your own religion. I believe you ought to marry within the same relationship with God. Amen. Notice that the judgment which God denounces against this apostate, by the way, this is somebody that's turned their back on God, divorced, made a divorcement from God and headed to the world. God sends His judgment, denounces that. He says they will be cut off from the tabernacles of Jacob. We might could call those the churches, the meeting houses of Jacob. And He's saying God will no longer accept an offering at their hand. You see that in verse number 12? And him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts, God will not accept an offering from their hand. Now, think about this. Here's the truth of the matter. These apostates have themselves quit going to the house of God. They have themselves quit giving offerings to God because they've fallen in love with the world and with a wicked person. And that's what happens in people in this day. If it comes to the point that you must exercise church discipline, that we must, for example, remove somebody from the role of the church, God said they have already removed themselves. They've already walked away from it. They've already denounced it. They've already rejected the light. Amen. And so God said, I want you to know they've already done that. And I'm just telling you to make it public that that's what has done. Amen. What has happened? These men turned their back on God. They began walking away from God. And instead of God chasing after them, He said, all right, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you have your way.